Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. It is Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, 5-5, Cinco de Mayo. And I'd like to welcome to the show an old friend of mine who I met many years ago when she was the first ever Miss Sprint Cup, the one and only Anne Marie Peterson. Used to be Rhodes back then, but times change. Married and have a baby, and how you doing? Welcome to the show. It's been a while.
It's been a while, my friend. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, you're one of the few people that I consider a friend, and we've been friends for a while, and you've done the show before throughout your various stages of Victory Lane presenter and motorsports photographer and hosting the show of about firearms on the Sportsman Channel, and then you disappeared, but not really. You disappeared. You found a new hobby, looking for vintage things. And as a matter of fact, the one you had a picture of a cup, and I have one a set just like it that was my mother-in-law's that my wife had, and I think I sent you the picture of it as well, but only a different color.
Oh, yeah, the jadeite. Yep. Yeah, it's been an interesting ride. I will say one thing about me is that I've never really followed the same path, but I kind of like that about myself as well. I've been like that since I was a kid, and I've always worked in the entertainment world. Let's see, I started when I was 14, actually, and it took me to New York, and I stayed there for a couple of years, and I lived in Los Angeles for about 10, and came back and randomly sort of fell into the Miss Sprint Cup role with NASCAR, and that was just super random, you know, when they started the program in 2007. Matter of fact, my husband and I were just talking about that today. It was 13 years ago, Vincent, that I started that. And it just,
wow. It's
just so crazy to think of that it was that long ago, because it kind of feels like yesterday, but then feels like 30 years ago. You know what I mean?
Oh, I do exactly. Because I think I started broadcasting with another show in 99. And I said, well, there is no motorsports talk show in the Philadelphia market. So I started this one. It was under another name back then but it was on a little AM station. It's when you first came on, about this time of night. And I think I had met you in person a couple of years later at the good old Dover Media Center, where everybody goes to network, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, I love Dover. That's one of my favorite tracks. I just like the fact that it's small. Get around a lot easier around there. It's a nice track.
And it's not boring. It's, you know.
No.
You get some
agreed.
Bigger tracks like Pocono, it gets boring.
Yeah, I always liked Dover. I always look forward to going there. I just, something about it was really exciting. I loved the walkway over the racetrack. You could stand there and, you know, look down. These cars are flying past you. It's super exciting. It's a really, really cool track. I hope one day soon that all of the racetracks can be filled again.
Oh, this is a mess. I mean, it went from everything to just chugging right along, and then next thing you know, here comes this virus, and everybody has to hold up in their quarantine and all this kind of, call it, I guess some people call it house arrest. I guess it all depends on what you want to do with it, but
yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I think it's how you, I think, you know, it's how you take it, your perspective on it. I know that obviously it's like the worst case scenario. I mean, there's so many people that are at just such major risk if they catch it, and so the most important thing is that we all stay away from each other. And it's just such a weird situation because we can't even take our son, who's almost two, you know, he's at such a pivotal time in his life to be around his grandparents, and he can't get anywhere near them. And it's really sad. And so we just tell ourselves, okay, right now we're going to keep our focus on our home and what we can accomplish from home. And that's really what's important, because I think it's the right thing to do, not only to stay sane, but also, you know, big picture, I think about people who are sick and dying, and I think, well, they, you know, out of respect for them, I need to stay home. And while I'm here, I need to try to make the best of it. So we've spent the majority of the first month planting gardens and you know, I mean, we have planted everything, Vince. Like, we have literally planted everything we could get our hands on, as many seeds as we had. And luckily, we had bought quite a bit before all this happened, ironically, because we were going to start a raised bed garden. We just spent a lot of time working on planting and growing our own food. And it sort of forced us at this point to really put our focus on that and ways that we can sustain ourselves as much as possible. And so, you know, in the way I look at it is it makes me feel good to know that, okay, well, I can't necessarily go out. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a nurse. I can't go out and help people. So what can I do? Well, I can learn to grow food. And that makes us feel really good. And we've learned a ton. We've also learned how to kill plants as well. Yeah, I've done a few of those. It's trial and error, that's for sure. So
I want to introduce you to my wife. She does not have a green thumb at all.
Well, I share that in many ways. It's certainly something that I'm learning every single day. The number one thing I've learned is that growing greens like kale and lettuce is about the easiest foolproof vegetable that you can grow. So if you want to feel really good about gardening, start with the greens, because you can't really mess those up.
Well, I have a vague idea. My dad always had a garden up until maybe 10, 15 years ago. And living in Jersey tomatoes, he had tomatoes. We're not talking a garden here. We're talking something about 20 feet wide by 120 feet long. He'd plant like 100 and some odd tomato plants and lettuce and things like that. And we always had tomatoes. So,
yep.
But he always, his go-to fertilizer was horse manure.
Oh, yeah, then that's the best. Organic.
And you'd always get that. He'd rototill that in, like, the off-season, so it'd have a chance to blend in with the soil. And then he'd go out and he wouldn't grow from seed. He'd get the plants and then just plant them. And then we were giving tomatoes away. It's like you can only eat so many.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. But, you know, and this kind of ties into the vintage part of life for me now, is that the way things used to be, you know, not to get sentimental, but before the virus, I felt as though a lot of people were talking about this. It wasn't just me, that everybody was at such a pace that it was hard to keep up with. Once I was done with Miss Brent, I went straight into hosting a television show, and I did that for 8 years straight. During that time, I also became a talent agent, and I did that for 5 years while I was also hosting the show. And these are not complaints. It was a wonderful, wonderful time in my life. Well, after the show, and I left being a talent agent, I went straight on to staying in television and film, and I moved into doing production where I was directing commercials and things like that. And it was around that time that I sort of noticed this trend, if you will, of what's called like the slow movement. And that was around the same time where I started really getting into what I used to love a lot when I was a kid, thanks to my parents who took me thrifting like every single weekend. I loved antiques and vintage items and, you know, the way things were built back in the day, if you will. And the quality and just the way they were designed, I was always really intrigued by it. Well, around 2016, you know, that sort of slow movement came into the picture, and all of a sudden, homesteading was becoming trendy again, and sustainability, and just slowing down. And I think the reason why is because the world was at such a pace, because think about it, Vincent, when you go home, your emails are still pinging you every 5 seconds. You know, your text messages, well, if they can't get you on the phone from calling you, they'll still text you. So your availability to the world never stops. And I know that when I was an agent, my phone, my emails would go off 1, 2, 3 in the morning expecting a return message. And the pace of the world just became so great. And I felt like, you know, around that 2016 time or whatever, that big slow movement was happening. Well, now fast forward to the virus and people, the world was forced to slow down. We didn't ask for it at this point. So now everybody is forced to slow down. Well, just about everybody, not everybody. And the plus side is the people who deserve the respect and the honor are being respected and honored. The nurses, the doctors, the service workers out there, the postal workers, people that really deserve it, that, you know, weren't necessarily getting those accolades before. And the world is forced to stay home and kind of reevaluate life in a way. And so for us, planning food, learning how, you know, things grow and keeping them alive. And then we had a salad today that we grew ourselves. I mean, there is a silver lining to all of it. And I feel like we are trying to make the best of this situation. And I do think that it's making the world, I hope that it makes the world better in the long run. It's unfortunate how it has to happen, no question. But I do think we have to look at the positive and say, okay, well, what are we going to do with this now? What are we going to learn from this now?
Well, I guess to the point where instead of everybody being hustle and bustle, they get a chance to look at life and like, wow, what a difference. Like, I know you're a lot younger than me, and I grew up in an era before when they still had phones on walls with wires, you know, or and you had a dial a phone.
I actually missed the days of having a landline. I was just telling that to somebody the other day because, well, remember back in the day, you know, it was exciting when somebody called. You didn't know who it was, right? And then
right. It
wasn't until towards the end that you avoided it because you were thinking it was a telemarketer. But way before that, it was like, oh, my goodness, who's calling? Or the doorbell would ring and you were excited of who's at the door. And so different times, but that all of that, makes me very much so appreciate the good old days, if you will.
When you come to, when you really think about it, though, the way things have changed since, I guess it, I 50s, the 1950s. We're not at the 2050s yet, but it's getting pretty darn close.
Yeah.
That you had televisions that to get a picture to watch in, you had to go move an antenna on the thing, either rabbit ears or one of them hoop things. And there was no such thing as a remote control. I guess if Dad wanted the channel changed and he didn't want to do it, he's like, here, go put on that channel. And you had three channels.
That's
you
right.
Didn't have. Then they graduated to UHF. It was like, ooh, so you get about six more channels.
Well, let's see. In my grandfather's house, the television was in a wooden box sitting on the floor, and it had that little knob on top, you know, and it was like you said, you know, 7 to 10 channels, something like that. And half the time they didn't show up. So it was really exciting when it worked. It was clear.
Yeah, sometimes you had to move the antenna to bring it in. And then they had the roof-mounted ones. As we progressed through vintage to modern, then you had to mount them on the roof. And they did that, and they had the little box with the knob on it. You could turn it north, south, east, or west, just to bring in the screens before you got all this fancy high-definition stuff and satellite TV, which...
Well,
and cable
TV,
which came first.
Absolutely, and kind of the slow movement, I think a lot of people are getting away from that a bit. I mean, we have not, my husband and I have not had cable, true cable, in many, many years because, number one, the cost. We felt like it was just getting to be ridiculous how expensive it was. It was not worth it to us. And then everything kind of moved online. And there's a lot of things that we would like to watch, but we can't, and we're okay with that. It's not that big of a deal. We'd rather save the money. When we need the news, we get the news on our cell phones anyway. So, but there's lots of things like that we just said, you know what, let's not sacrifice the bottom line to get it. Let's just live a little bit more simply, you know, and I feel like we'll sort of always be that way. I mean, we enjoy being outside more than anything else. That's what we enjoy the most. My husband's from Montana, so that's kind of in his blood. I mean, that's, you know, where he's from is so rural that the county is actually called Frontier. They don't call it a town, which I think is the coolest thing ever. And I've been there, and it's just the most amazing, heartwarming place ever. The people are phenomenal, and you could see forever and ever and ever, never see another person. And so that's where he grew up. And so coming to North Carolina, where we live now, we decided to move farther out into the country. And we really love the way we live. We love our life. And the only thing we want to change is that we actually want to be even more remote than where we are now.
Come to Blaine County, Virginia. I'm pretty remote.
We really love Virginia. That is one of the most beautiful states in the country. And I don't know if you've ever been to a little town called Meadows of Dan, Virginia, but that place is just, it's one of our favorite places to go. And sometimes we'll get in the car and just drive up there and drive around. And it's like the perfect rolling hills. And I love Virginia. I really, really do.
It's not far from me. As a matter of fact, one of my wife's classmates lives in Meadows of Dan. And as a matter of fact, I sit on a comfortable house for the two of us and our bazillion cats. Well, most of them live outside. We have five that live inside. It was eight, but three crossed the Rainbow Bridge last year. Two were 19 and one was 15. They moved with us.
Oh, wow.
We have one left that moved with us in 2012. So, but go on my Facebook page and you'll see some pictures that my wife took of the yard. They were all in the yard of the scenery around the house, and you'll see what I'm talking about. I'm about 90 miles north of Bristol. So
okay.
I got about 11 acres on a hill. My nearest neighbor is at the end of my driveway, which is about a little over a tenth of a mile away. I can't see them. They can't see me. I border the Jefferson National Forest, so nobody's going to encroach.
The perfect way to be right here. I just love it. I put me right in the middle of the woods, and I'm happy. I want to go outside and be able to talk as loud as I want, and, you know, nobody be around. I think that's my idea of complete happiness. I love socializing, don't get me wrong, but when I go home, I want to be in peace. And right now where we're at, we go outside and 70% of the time, all we hear are birds and the wind blowing and then a little bit of traffic. We're far enough away from highways and things like that for it to be private. And that's what we like. But I want even more privacy. I want that, like what you have, 11 acres. That sounds great to me.
Well, we do have a, if you want, I'll text you the name of a realtor if you're looking to come out this way. There is a thing that, being the vintage part that you like, is every twice a year now, I don't think they're going to have one Memorial Day, but the town of Hillsville has like a humongous flea market. It's the whole town.
Oh, wow.
And they have all sorts of stuff there. Hillsville, Virginia.
Oh,
it's about
okay.
Exit 14. Exit 14 off I-77 north coming from your way. And it's Labor Day weekend and Memorial Day weekend, which I said they probably won't have. And then there's another one Labor Day weekend with a gun show. So.
All right. I'll have to check that out. We like going to sales like that.
And I mean,
estate sales are so much fun. There's such a rush.
And you park on people's lawns, they'll charge you like $10 and you just walk around all day.
Yeah, we are very much so missing that part of life right now, but we will live. I miss my thrift stores, I'm not going to lie, but it's the right thing to do for them to be closed. I'm very happy about that. So one day they'll be back open.
Well, I don't think it'll be, well, it depends on who you believe. Yes, like our governor just pushed everything a week down the road again. Everybody was expecting to open up carefully, and then he just pushed it down the road. I don't know how it is in Carolina, but I think from what I see, everybody, the natives are getting restless and, yeah, you have to be concerned. But
yeah, they're definitely getting restless. But I think people need to look at the actual numbers. If you look at the county maps of the numbers, to me, that's what I go off of more than anything else. I haven't looked at it in the last couple of days, but I know that the numbers were still climbing. And so it's just a confusing thing because, you know, of course, I'm not a scientist, I'm not a doctor, but it's a confusing thing because I know a lot of people that have it, they're completely asymptomatic. A lot of people have immunity to it for, you know, whatever the reason. But if you really do look at the numbers, you know, they're going up. And so I just trust that the people that are in the positions that I'm not in know what they're talking about, you know, but I definitely can tell people are very, very restless. And it doesn't help that it's summertime and this is the time of year that people want to be outside. They want to go boating. They want to go to the beach. They want to go to the park. But all of our parks are still, what's the word? They have the tape all the way around them. They're, you know, they're all closed off. And so, but we're being patient. Like I said, we're trying to just kind of be project-based. It helps for my husband and I, we're both freelancers in production. So we do work for ourselves essentially. So we can stay home. that does help a lot. But we're also just really trying to work on projects and keep busy around the house. And I feel as though we've been busier than ever, and I could use a couple of days that I didn't do anything. We're trying to stay positive more than anything else.
Yeah. Well, looking at the county numbers for the virus, there's 3 counties in Virginia with no reported cases. One of them is one I live in.
Oh, wow. No kidding. Wow. See, I've never talked to somebody in a county like that. Wow. All right.
I can leave my house, drive to the place I work, which is in Whitfield, about 20 miles away, and not hit one traffic light.
Wow. That's great. That's wonderful.
I don't think there's one in the whole county. I think the population here is only about 6,800 people.
Wow. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
You just don't hear a lot of that.
Well, it was kind of weird how we found the place. Everybody goes, well, how'd you find here? Well, my wife's the type of person, she goes, I could live on a mountain with nobody around. I says, well, I'm sorry, I gotta be close enough to some people because I'm a people person, so we found this place.
That's still pretty far from home, though.
Yeah, but, you know, we could have probably moved in the eastern Pennsylvania up in the Poconos. There's mountains there, but I don't know. We just wanted to get away from the hustle and bustle.
Yep, we understand that completely. You picked a good state. You definitely picked a good state.
Well, we'd always go to Charlotte. Well, not always, but we've done Pocono. We did Dover. We wanted to do Charlotte. And on the way home, you ride up I-81. We cut through. We'd leave Charlotte, head toward the reservation. Went to the Cherokee Reservation, stayed there, and then we shot up to Gatlinburg, and then we hit 81 north, and you see all these signs. It's hundreds of acres of land for sale, and it was like dirt cheap. Coming from the northeast, everything down here is dirt cheap. We didn't buy none then, but we waited, and we didn't get too bad a deal down here, but we just up and moved down here, and been here ever since.
Yeah, we see a lot of those signs too when we're driving around that have how many acres you can get. It's pretty amazing. I love the fact that there's that much land still available. Where I'm from is closer to the Raleigh area, and that area has just completely exploded. The houses are more expensive. It's very difficult to find land. And I'd always kind of thought, well, maybe we'll move closer to home, but that's becoming harder and harder. So we're sort of looking more towards the areas that are still considered out in the country.
Well, you could always come here and be a hillbilly.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I mean, and the thing about it, like you were hosting Gallery of Guns, and I saw where they're, because I enter their Great Gun Giveaway every week, and they said they weren't shipping to the people, but gun stores are considered essential, so you think the business is booming for gun sales.
I'm not sure about the contest this year. I haven't actually heard anything about it this year. Is that still going on, or?
Yeah, they always have something up weekly.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I know that gun stores are still open in those states. I do know that. I don't know about Virginia, but I would imagine so.
They're open.
Yeah, there you go. I hadn't heard about. I know the NRA show is always in May every year, I believe, but I would imagine that's also been rescheduled, but I haven't actually looked to see myself when it's going to be.
Yeah, I think it's postponed. I don't know if it's been rescheduled yet.
Yeah.
But,
I think a lot of things are kind of being postponed till the fall.
Yeah, that's about, the weather be nicer. You don't have to worry about.
Actually, I just looked it up. It says NRA Nashville 2020 has been canceled. So there you go. Hmm.
Yeah, it's they're the last people that want to get in trouble for something with something like this going on. I mean, I'm a life member.
Well, that's just such a populated show, too.
Oh, I bet. I've never been to one. I should have went to the one in Philly when I lived up there, but I hadn't gone to any of them. Nashville would have been nice.
I went to the one in Atlanta and with Gallery of Guns, and it was fantastic. It was so much fun. And Davidson sponsored the country concert, so I got to go on stage and with Hank Williams Jr. And that was an experience. That was definitely an experience. Gretchen Wilson was there, and I love her, so I got to meet her, and it was a good time. It was a really good time. They do a very good job.
I bet. I mean, I was never a really big country western fan, the old school stuff, but the newer stuff I kind of like.
So you don't like the old school. You know, usually it's the opposite. Most of the time people say they like the old stuff, but not the new stuff.
Well, you got to realize I grew up north, so the old stuff was... And when I was... overseas when I was in the service and being stationed, there was this one guy from Texas, and that's all he listened to, was Waylon Jennings, Willie Nelson, and what do they call that? Shit kicking music?
Oh, yeah. It's still popular
George
today.
Carlin, yeah, George Carlin did a funny bit on that about my baby's dead, blam, got hit by a train, blam, big old train, blam. I want to get me a beer. But, it's just, so the newer stuff, it's a little more, I guess it's more, country rock. I mean, I get into watching The Voice and stuff like that and see who's on there. And there's so many talented people out there that, makes you wonder how certain people get breaks and certain people don't. I mean.
Yeah, you watch the television shows where they have the competitions and you're like, wow, this person is better than half the people on the radio. How are they not a star? But that's just kind of not how it works. It's not all talent. It's a lot more. I learned that when I was an agent, that it has a lot to do more with just there's so many factors involved in it besides just your raw talent. It's an interesting business.
Yeah, that's one thing I wanted to ask about. When you were being an agent, I mean, do you have to solicit clients or do they come looking for you and say, hey, would you represent me? And I mean, how that works.
They would come to you, but occasionally you would see somebody and you would just feel like they're really talented or they're really special. There's something about them that's very unique. And so you would talk to them and set up a meeting. But most of the time, you sort of get a reputation around if you are, if the company that you're working for and you yourself are working with a lot of different actors and musicians and things like that, the word sort of spreads and people seek you out at that point if they want to work with you. So most of the time you would get submissions. But a lot of times what I like to do is I like to go out and see shows and things like that and go find people. I thought that was to me, more fun because I felt like I was able to discover them in a way, you know, because really a lot of people that are talented, they don't ever get to go much further in their career, and they really want to, but it's because they don't have the business behind them backing them, you know, because it is a business, and a lot of artists don't understand that your talent can only take you so far, and then you have to have the business part of it back you up. And so I would always tell, especially the younger actors, look, you can be as talented as you want to be, but it, at the same time, you have to have the right representation. You have to have somebody that's pushing you saying, hey, they're telling that casting director or that director, hey, this person's really great. Please let them audition. You know, they won't let you down. They're perfect for that role. And that was what my job was. I was really fortunate that because my actors made my job easy. They were so talented. They were so, so good. And I represented some that were, I mean, I'm really partial to them, but they were really special people. And so I look at them now and I'm not surprised at all of the success that they have. I have one guy who I represented that is on a film that's on Netflix now. And then I have another young girl that I represented, and she's one of the stars of the show Outer Banks. And that's on Netflix. And so, you know, it's just a fine mix. I mean, yes, you do go find people. And a lot of times I would visit an acting class or something like that, and there'd just be somebody that really stood out. You know, another thing that the college in Greensboro, A&T University, there were a couple of people that I, I don't like to use the word discovered. I think that sounds funny, but I met with and just through a class, and I thought they were really cool and really great. And now they're both working on television. And the best part about that job is that I can say that I had a small part in their big career. I'm not the only part. I'm just a small part, but it's a business. And the thing that I hope that they all took away from my time with them was that they have to understand and always remember that it's a business first, no matter what. And I think they will. I think they always remember that. And it's just fun to see everybody's careers, you know, take off. And there's a lot of people that don't do it anymore. And that's good too, because they realized this wasn't for me, because it's an interesting business to be in. My husband and I both, we work together now. So a lot of people don't know, because we don't really advertise it that much. But we both work in production still, and we started a production company last year. And it's something that I'll always keep my hand in, because it's just what I've always done my whole life. And I'll always feel very comfortable working in entertainment, because it's just what I've always known. But like I said before, I like to keep my hands in a lot of different cookie jars. I think that makes life more interesting. I like to consider myself more of an entrepreneur, which means I can work in this and work in that and work in that. And the best part is that I work for myself, and I love that part of life.
I wish I had that same vision, working for myself. I don't know. I do remember a certain time a few years ago when I saw a text on my phone about applying for a part as an Italian mobster.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You sent it to me, but it wasn't for me. It was for another one. It was for one of your clients. I'm looking, how the hell can I can play the part? I'm an Italian. I'm from New Jersey. I go, yo, you know it's like this. You gonna mess with me, I'm gonna make you disappear. You know, the part of the script had some cussing in it, but I would have to send an audition video, and I didn't know any these. You know, the actors that do these anymore used to go to some place and sit in a room and audition for the person. Now they're doing it in their own house with a camera.
Oh yeah. Well, that's where the business comes in, because now, well, you know, okay, so back in the day when I was a teenager, the way it worked was you printed these headshots when you were an actor and they were black and white. Now they're all color and you don't print them. Well, you do, but you don't need as many. But you had these black and white headshots and you would actually go and drive and hand your headshot off, and the casting directors would have to mail huge packages, or the agents would have to mail huge packages of headshots to the casting director. And now everything's digital. And so actors had to learn how to, and this was when I was an agent, this was just hitting really big. It was right at that time where all of a sudden it switched from having to go in person to everything being online. And so the transition was a very painful process for a lot of actors. And I understand why, because you had to learn how to film yourself doing these auditions. And that is not an easy thing to do, making sure that it looks right and has to be a certain way. And, you know, it's a tricky thing. And I think that was, even now, I'm sure it's really hard for people, but everything changed. All of a sudden, going in person, those days were gone. And it's not until you get towards the very end of the casting process do you actually go in person. But most of the time, it all starts with a video, just a straight video.
I mean, I didn't know whether, like, see, here's the thing you got me is, do you memorize the lines or do you read the lines when you're doing an audition? I remember people saying, oh, this is a headshot, and they'd send them for modeling and things like that. And, you know, as I grew up and from what I can sort of assume watching people get into acting careers, it was a person I had graduated with was in a couple of big movies. She, one was with Matthew Modine. So she was like,
oh, wow.
She had gotten a lead part. Yeah, this I can't remember the name of it. And, you know, I watched it because she was in it, but I wasn't, in high school, I was a different person than I am now. I was one of them, believe it or not, shy, quiet guys who really didn't talk to anybody. Now I can't shut up. And I was, you know, she was in a couple of big movies, and I saw them when they came on cable back in the day. And now she's living somewhere in New York. I know her sisters. I know her. You know, there's an Italian family, had about 6 or 7 kids, so they're all over the place.
Well, it's definitely a different business, that's for sure. It's an interesting,
yeah,
interesting business. If you want to be an actor, there's a lot to it. There's a whole lot to it. Yeah, I think that's a whole different show.
I could talk about that
for hours and hours of really what it takes. And then there's that one person that you hear about that just gets lucky. They first thing up, they audition for whatever they get, and they become a star. You know, there's no rhyme or reason to it.
Yeah, that's it just happened to be one of those things.
That's right. And, that's right.
But how do you find
have
me? I mean,
who are, oh, go ahead.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
Say you have people who've been in the business for 20 years, and they, you know, they've worked and they've had great parts, but they've never had that one part that all of a sudden makes them recognizable to where it changes their career. And then you have people who are young who hit something that's just the right place, the right time, the right moment, and their careers completely take off. It's just part of the business.
And then there's one of your clients I actually became friends with, and he's been on the show a couple times. Played a couple of iconic characters. name is Jeff.
Jeff, yes, Jeff Sandor. He's amazing. He is one of those actors out there. The right person could see him. He could really, really do well and hit it big. He is, and you know, not only that, he's deserving of it. He's the nicest guy ever. But when you work with him on set, because we actually had him do some work with Gallery of Guns, he's just so likable. And so, I mean, he's just so nice. And so he's always on time. He's just the best. He's a complete professional. And I hope one day that I come across something that I can say, you know what? I know the guy. He's perfect for it. Let's just have him come in for it. And I really do hope one day that I get that opportunity and I can call him and say, hey, I have this part. You're perfect for it. Let's work together again. We've actually talked about that, of hoping to be able to work together again one day, because he is just the best. I'm so glad that you actually have had him on the show. And I hope that, you know, he can come on again another day.
He was on a couple weeks ago.
Oh, awesome. Awesome.
Oh, yeah. Great. Like,
yeah, he's the best. He's the best.
We're Facebook buddies. We're close Facebook buddies. You could ask him.
Well, good.
Well, I think his punctuality has a lot to do with his military and law enforcement career. So
I think that helps. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's ingrained in him.
Yeah, he was on a couple of weeks ago, right when the mess all started and everybody got locked down. And he kind of thought he might have had the virus last year, because he said he was so sick that he had all the symptoms. So it might not have broke out when it seemed like it. He thought he might have had it late last year.
I've heard a few people say that, actually.
Because they've had flu before, and this one was so bad that, like you said, there might be so many people out there that have had it, made it through it, asymptomatic, probably they ought to get tested for the antibody test, and who knows?
I know this. Last year, and I just attributed all of it to the fact that I'd had a baby, and I was so sleep deprived that my immune system was down. But around the fall, I ended up catching something, and I never get a fever. And I had the worst fever for several days and chills, terrible chills. And I was coughing like crazy. And now that you say that, like, I just told myself it was the flu. I didn't even go in to get checked or anything, because I said, wow, I've caught the flu. And because, you know, the flu, like, you know that feeling. It's different than a cold. It's just different. It hits you differently. It's not like a stomach bug. It's like, it just knocks you completely down. And this was like, okay, hubby, you got to stay home with the baby. I can't even lift my head up. And I remember one day telling him, I feel so sick. It's scaring me. And that was in the fall. So who knows? It could have been, you know, who knows? I don't know. I just assumed it was the flu. And it took about 3 weeks to feel normal again.
Seems to be what everybody that's surviving is going through. You might want to get yourself an antibody test.
I'd be curious. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be interesting? Yeah, that would be interesting. I'll have to talk to Jeff about that.
It's just weird. Like, I get a flu shot every year, so whether it works or not, of late, because my company takes care of it and you're now dependent, so the wife and I go get them. So, but colds, I catch colds every time a cold comes out, I catch it. So I think I should have built up immunity to something, even with all that.
That's why you guys are growing your own food.
Well, at least around here, if you don't want to grow it, you can shoot it.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. I'm actually hoping this summer I can go fishing and catch some some fish and store that up a little bit.
That's one thing I have to drive a little bit to do. I mean, we have creeks around here. I wouldn't even know where to go fishing. There's a few lakes. I think one of the biggest places around here, it's a little further northeast. It's called Smith Mountain Lake, but
oh yeah,
we've never been there,
but I hear that's amazing. I hear that's a really nice lake.
And Clater Lake, I think a little closer. My wife just blurted that out. She's up on the info for me. That's where you two would get along real good.
There you go. Well, you're not too far from us, so we'll have to all get together one day.
Yeah, that's for sure. Maybe when you make that trip up to Hillsville, we'll meet you down there.
That sounds like a plan. That sounds great. We'd love that. The question is, when are you going to actually start a YouTube channel? Or do you already have one and I don't know about it?
I have one that I watch stuff on, but I don't think I got the face for TV. I need some fancy production work.
You know, I'm just going to say it. I think it's time for the radio show to be taped, and then you can post the videos on your YouTube channel.
Well, I'd have
great
to get
idea.
A camera. I'll have to think about it.
See, this is me still having that agent mentality. I'm sitting here trying to convince you of, hey, look, this is the next thing you should do.
I need to get a camera that I could put on a tripod. Not this little web thing that's on the top of my laptop. Might be good for Facebook video chat or something like that. But and then
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah,
fans would love it.
I have thought about it, but the one good thing about no racing is I could have other topics on, which I usually do anyway, because the racing is, I don't know. You can
well,
just cover
the. Well, it's not the same since I'm not there. I'm just kidding.
That's true. You know, I've had every Miss Sprint Cup on this show.
That is awesome. That's so cool. I love it. Do you ever talk to any of the other ones? Because you should have them back on.
I've tried the only other one. Well, Monica works for Fox, and she's hard to get a hold of.
Yep.
Juliana, who was actually from Cherry Hill, New Jersey, which was not far from where I lived up north, she's been on a few times, but once Sprint, NASCAR didn't renew the Sprint title and went to Monster, and so she was the last one, and Maddie Martin. It's just hard to get everybody back on. You all, Brooke Warner's now booked the house, having a kid.
Yeah, and, you know, Monica, myself, Madison, Brooke, you know, having children, it changes everything. And Monica has two boys, and, you know, I have one son. Brooke has a son, and she's pregnant, and Madison has a son. We have a lot of boys, actually. But that changes everything. That makes time really difficult. I'll speak for them on that one. I was able to do this. Yep, Paige as well. She's a little girl. I was able to do this show because thankfully my husband's home and he's doing the nighttime duty with the child. So I can come into our studio and have quiet because I assure you it's never quiet in this house. So this was a good excuse for me to have a little bit of a break.
Well, there you go. Let's see, who else we have? Kim Kuhn, she's been on a couple of times, and Kristen Beat was on once. It's just like when I throw out the call, certain people would come on, like Brooke Werner, Brooke Knaus. I said, hey, I need a Miss Sprint Cup. Come on. Sure, Brooke will be on, blah, blah, blah. Just seemed like every time I put out the call, unless I specifically asked for somebody, this was after you left, and Monica. But because you were the first to, I was debating on whether to try to get her on tonight with you, and we could all reminisce and things like that. But if you're in contact with everybody, then.
Who are you talking about, Monica or Brooke?
Yeah, Monica.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that'd be fun. I'll have to tell her, see if we can set that up.
Well, being I was doing day shift at my other job. I did the show at night. Now I'm going back a second, so the show will be on at noon from now. Back to noon to one from now on. So.
Oh, okay. So this is the last nighttime one.
Yep, unless I'm on vacation and I'll bump it to a night. But until then, yeah, it'll be on from noon to one on Tuesdays. Usually I have it on Tuesdays.
Okay.
This way when the racing's done, I got all the live audio, all the audio I could play and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, very good. Well, I'm looking forward to racing coming back on. Is it Darlington that they're going to go?
Yeah, they're going to Darlington on the 17th, and they're going to do what? Seven races in 11 days. That's four cup races and an
wow.
Xfinity, which used to be a Busch, and then a truck series in between them. So they're going to be with no fans.
I was going to say, but so fans are not allowed yet. Yeah.
No.
Wow.
Have you ever been to an NHRA event?
Believe it or not, that is what got me the opportunity to be Miss Sprint Cup.
Ah.
That sort of started. Well, okay, I'll be brief. But when I was, let's see, I don't even remember how old I was. That is very sad. But I got the opportunity to go to one of the NHRA events, and I don't remember where it was, but I remember I had to fly to it. I want to say somewhere up north, but it was with the Top Fuel cars. They were debuting the Winston silver Top Fuel car. Does that sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they wanted to have me go there. It was me and another girl. They wanted us to fly up there and kind of be there as part of the event where they were launching this silver Winston Top Fuel car. And the man that was part of that casting process that I worked with, his name is Chad, wonderful human being. I had a great time at that event, and he actually hooked us up where we were able to stand right next to the cars when they took off, which was like the craziest thing ever. It is as scary as what it might seem. And we had to sign all these waivers of like we could die. You know, and I was like, what am I getting myself into? I thought I was just, what are you talking about? I could die. They're like, well, you have to sign these contracts just in case, you know, it might knock you over. And I was like, what? I don't want to do it then. But they convinced me and I stood next to him. And, but anyways, I met that gentleman, Chad, and we just sort of, you know, stayed in contact throughout the years, professionally. And then, lo and behold, my agent at the time called me and said, hey, they have this thing, it's not Miss Winston, it's different, because you know there was Miss Winston Cup for many, many, many years.
Yes.
In NASCAR. And so they called and said, it's kind of like Miss Winston, kind of different, and are you interested? And I said, well, I had actually auditioned for Miss Winston Cup when I was 19, and I was way too young at the time to do it. And matter of fact, now that I think about it, I actually interviewed with Chad. I was too young. And then fast forward to when I was 27, that's how long in between, which shows you that if you really stay in entertainment, just hang in there. That was like, you know, a long, long time. And anyways, he called and said, well, is Anne-Marie still interested? And I said, yeah, let's do the interview. And I came in for the interview, and they called the next day, and that's how it all worked out. So NHRA, thank you, because kind of, you know, helped me out. So.
Well, that's neat.
Yeah.
Well, the only one reason why I asked you about that is because of, for one, the races aren't very long, and you were at a Top Fuel event near where the cars took off, and that's a, I went to Englishtown, I covered the Englishtown race, and I was going to, that's what I was going to bring up. Have you ever been that, right at that spot? And when those things take off, there's like, your body feels something. It won't feel anywhere else.
No, no way to describe it. It's when they say you might fall over, they are not kidding. It is intense. It is, you feel it. You don't just hear it, you feel it.
And when I was there, they were up to like 9,000 horsepower. Now they're at 10. They're probably going to be on 11.
Do that.
My bucket list race is the four wides at Charlotte. So you got four Top Fuel or nitro burning cars taking off at the same time, being down by the start finish line.
Mm. So you're just making me miss racing right now. I like desperately miss it. When it's in your blood, it's in your blood.
You can always go as a fan. I'm sure you have connections.
Oh, I've been as a fan many, many times since I was Miss Brent. Oh, gosh, yeah. I'm always going to be a fan of NASCAR forever and ever. And all types of racing, not just NASCAR. I love drag racing, all of it. I really, really enjoy it. Always have. Something about the, not to sound strange, but I just love the smell of a racetrack when I get there. It's very nostalgic for me. Because I started going to races when I was a kid.
The local dirt tracks or the actual big tracks?
Oh, yeah, the dirt tracks. I had cousins who raced and uncles who raced. And my younger brother was a race car driver in a late model stock series for a while. And he raced at Martinsville several times. And, oh, yeah, I was always, I mean, racing and golf, those were the two big sports in my family. And the funny thing is my older brother is, he literally could be a pro golfer. He's incredibly talented at golf. My younger brother, incredibly talented at racing. And my first big job was traveling with the PGA Tour. And then I went on to be Miss Sprint Cup in NASCAR. So they played and I got to work for the companies. So it's kind of ironic how that worked out.
That's for sure. Oh, well, I guess I better let you go. It was probably one of the quickest hour shows I've done in a while. We'll have to talk off the air sometime.
Yeah, sounds good. Well, my husband and I will bring the baby and we'll come up to see you guys. And we'll definitely check out those sales that you were telling me about, for sure.
What they call the big flea market.
Yes.
It packs the town. They have another one that starts, it's on the back road and goes through a couple states as well, but it's just more like people with stuff on the side of the road there as opposed to, well, you might find some vintage stuff there as well.
I was going to say, we like them all.
No, I think it's not like the one that goes through Tennessee out that way. That's like 1,000 miles long.
Yeah. I have not been to that one before. I would like to, but with a toddler, that's probably not going to happen for a few years.
Right. And keep it local. At least you go to
exactly.
a town, get a hotel room like Hillsville. If you get a room and you could walk them around and tire them out. Bring
might
a stroller.
Do that, actually. We might have to call the grandparents and ask if they want to babysit, and we'll just make a weekend out of it for the hubby and I. That sounds like fun.
Oh, there you go. His last name is Peterson. Is he any relation to the Peterson of the Gun Lore, the magazines?
No, he's actually not. No, he is part of the Peterson group in Montana, in the north. East part of Montana, almost like very, very close to Canada. His ancestors, I hope I'm saying this right, but I was told that they came there on wagons. So they've been there for a while. And they have farms and stuff up there. They're amazing people. I'm very, very fortunate.
It does sound like right, yeah, they would have came from wagons if it were that long ago. Oh, yeah, the Virginia North Carolina's 100-mile-long yard sale.
Oh, there we go.
Route
now we're talking.
21. And that's usually in July. It's going to be canceled.
You know, I think they might be, you think so? Because they might be able to still do it if everybody stays away from each other.
Yeah, if they do the social distance thing, it's not a really congested thing. Who knows?
Yeah.
I'll keep you posted. How's that sound?
That sounds good to me. Please let me know if you hear anything, for sure.
All right. I'll let you know either way.
All right. Well, it was great talking to you, my friend. And please
great
tell the wife I said hello. And
okay.
I hope that we get to all see each other in person very soon.
All righty. Sounds like a plan. Like I said, go ahead and talk to Jeff. I'll have him back on again. Sometimes if I need a guest real quick, and I'll just shoot him a thing on Facebook Messengers. Hey, you busy?
I'm going to message him right now and tell him I was just talking to you, and I'm going to go back and listen to the show when he was on. I can't wait. And you know what?
Right,
if you ever decide to do video for YouTube, maybe Jeff and I both will drive up to you and we'll all be on the show together. How about that? I'm sure that Jeff would say yes to that.
Wow. I was going to try to get a hold meet up with him in person this summer because my military unit was having a reunion out there on the Outer Banks. It's out of Bogue Field, which is just north of where he's from in Wilmington. So we were going to try to meet up there, but they canceled that because I was stationed down there, Emerald Isle, which was a little north of, which is called Bogue Field, which is a little north of Camp Lejeune. So
we were going
to have something down there, and I was going to try to meet up with him in person. But that was postponed a year, so we'll have to do that next year.
Yep, a lot of things are, that's for sure. So, well, you guys stay safe.
Oh, we'll do our best. I'm getting up there in years, you know. I'm almost in in that group.
Well, you guys just do what they tell you to do, the washing the hands and keep your distance. And that's what's great about radio, though, right?
That's it. Oh, one thing about cameras and stuff like that. On TV, it's my only gripe of Gallery of Guns. They need a better camera. I hope the YouTube videos are in HD because the ones that were on Sportsman, the thing was compressed, stretched out.
Oh, really? Oh, it didn't look like that for mine. I'll have to look at it.
Yeah, if you're using an HD to film your videos, it's probably a lot better would have went over on the air. Would have went over and, Jeff did say he wishes he got to work with you as a host.
Oh, yeah.
On the Gallery of Guns. So.
But he was the best savior because I called him and said, hey, look, so I'm having a baby and I need somebody to go stand in my place because I cannot stand for 18 hours a day right now. I am the size of a Volvo. And he was super gracious and took my place, and he did an amazing job. And of course he did. I mean, his training is incredible. So he was a very, very good replacement. I know the fans were very happy about that.
Well, I've watched every show because I DVR'd them just because you were part of it, and then he was part of it. And
thank you so much. That's really nice.
And I've had every Gallery of Guns host on too. I've had you, Bo.
Yep.
Jeff.
Yep.
And Bo's replacement, I can't remember his name.
Aaron.
Aaron Gallagher.
Yep. Yep, Aaron Gallagher. Yep. He was wonderful,
all
too. He did such a great job.
All the Miss Sprint Cups, all the Gallery of Guns hosts. And I think
well, if
I
I'm ever on another
all,
show, I will call you and make sure.
And all the Philbilly Horror Show people, which is
oh,
Bo
yeah.
and a couple of...
Yep, yep.
As well as various race car drivers and crew people.
That's right. And then, you know, you haven't had my husband on yet, who's quite a star in his own right. He just walked in, so I'm putting him on the spot, of course. looking at me like, no.
What does he like to talk
Matter
about?
Of fact,
I can talk about anything.
Well, I was going to say, we will let you go. We're actually about to have a huge storm here. But the way that I met my husband is kind of funny because he was the cameraman for the very first shot I ever took on Gallery of Guns. So he was the
wow.
guy staring at me behind the camera, and it worked.
That's where all the close-ups came from on the...
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yep. Oh, he's giving me a look right now, like, oh, you did not just tell that story.
That's all right. Tell him we're old friends. It's not a... It's more than just a radio show. Alrighty.
Well,
anyway,
coming up, and he'll be excited about that, the one in Virginia. So thanks for telling us about that. But thank you
all
again
right.
so much
well,
for having me on. Anytime, I'm happy to be on.
Okay. Well, anytime, you have an open invitation. So if you got something coming you wanna promote, you can always shoot me a text.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
All righty.
All right, my friend. I'll talk to you soon. Stay safe.
All right. You too. You got the little one.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Okay,
bye-bye. Bye, Vincent.
Ah, she's a hoot.